Please.
Thank you.
Be seated, everybody. I asked Reverend Bonnke at dinner last night. I thought, I'm going to really push my luck here. The fact that I got him for a Sunday night at all, it means the world to me. But I'd love for you to just say hi to these guys. And yeah. If there was one thing you were going to share, just one, and I'm going to let you go, I promise, because you've got to catch a plane. But if just say hi, and there's one thing you would share with people who want to answer the call, what would you say to them?
Well, first of all, I would like to say that I'm very happy to see you. This doesn't work. I would like to say that I'm very happy to see that you have heard the call of God and that you want to serve Him. When I was your age, that's long ago, and my father came to me and said, Reinhard, you have just graduated from school. What do you want to do? My brother, my elder brother Martin, when he graduated before me, he said, Dad, I want to become a scientist. He became a doctor of nature science, rerum naturarum, for his whole life. And my brother Peter graduated before me, and my father said, Peter, what do you want to do? And Peter said, I want to become a medical doctor. He became a medical doctor. And then my day came, and father said, Reinhard, what do you want to do? And it was as if a film passed my eyes of all different possibilities and opportunities and tempting things. But suddenly I realized one thing. I said to my father, Dad, I want with my mortal hands to build God's immortal kingdom. You know, what can you do with your hands? Everything will become to ashes one day and will pass away, gnawed up by the time, the worm of time. But here is something. We can build with our mortal hands God's eternal kingdom, which will never pass away, which is from everlasting to everlasting. It's the highest form of human life on earth. It's not even being president of the United States. It's to be a builder of God's eternal kingdom, lasting throughout eternity. And it takes more than prayer. It takes more than prayer. I'm very much for prayer, because without prayer, nothing works. But we cannot only pray. It's impossible. In Matthew 9, Jesus said to his disciples, he said to them, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he may send laborers, laborers into the harvest. Okay? And then he said, just a few, one or two verses on, going over into chapter 10, whoever cut that piece into two chapters was wrong. Jesus said, go ye. In other words, he just told them to pray for laborers, and then he told them to go as laborers. You see, in other words, those who prayed for laborers answered their own prayer. It's the very ones who prayed were the ones who went. You see? And to pray, only to pray is wrong. And only to preach is wrong. But God has given us two legs. If you only walk on one, you limp. But with two, you make progress. You can run. You have success. You do it. There's one thing I still want to say. And that is this. The Lord said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest field. The Greek experts tell us that the word pray for Lord of the harvest to send laborers. That word send is actually not send. In Greek it is exbalo. That word exbalo means kicked. It means kicked. The same word was used when they spoke about casting out demons. Yeah. Check it up yourself. You are students. Isn't that amazing?
That's incredible.
Yes. It's not just, oh, would you please go? And you have cotton wool everybody. And I have vowed to God I will never, ever comfort anyone in his unbelief. Oh. Never, ever. It's wrong medicine. And I will never pray, help my unbelief. You know what I pray? I pray for my unbelief to die. I want it dead. I want to put my trust in Jesus. And I won't give you the benefit of my doubt. I give you the benefit of my faith. All right? We move forward as laborers. We pray and then we preach. We pray and we preach and we build with our mortality, God's eternal kingdom. Thank you. I love you all. Thank you, Pastor Stephen.
Thank you.
It's a joy for me to have been here and come to know you all. Thank you.
It's awesome to have Pastor Bonke here. Come on. We're going to let this man catch a plane. We're going to let you go.
Thank you so much.
Come on, show some love. I'm so glad you agreed to just come and say hi. Aren't you awesome? That anointing, I'm telling you, you catch someone's spirit. You know, this man's mentored me. He's never met me. I only met him for the first time in my life, other than shake his hand, last night. But anybody who knows me can see what's rubbed off on me just by watching what he did tonight. Even the sinner's prayer, I'm going, dear God, I learned it from him. I didn't know. I didn't realize until he started. Then the way he did the altar call, I learned it from him. I just didn't know. And I'm telling you, you're going to have great mentors in your life that you may never meet. And, you know, we are without excuse when we think, oh, if I could just get closer to this person, that's an example of how an anointing can be passed on without you ever, ever even having met somebody. It's amazing. You can be seated, everybody. Amen. I got some notes here. All right. Well, it's, here we go. Is that better? All right. That one needs healing. Praise the Lord. That one needs deliverance is what it needs. There's a demon in that microphone. Because the old Pentecostal motto, if in doubt, cast it out. Deliverance. I believe in deliverance. I believe there are people who've been demonically oppressed. I believe there are people who are demonically possessed. And I believe in the ministry of deliverance. But I also believe deliverance often is a cop-out for repentance. So it's much easier to blame a devil than it is to look at your own self and actually deal with the stuff that's in you that needs to be dealt with. Would you agree? And so there you go. So we do have some notes, and these are the notes I want to give you tonight. Do we hand these out? And do I have my glasses here? Praise the Lord. What a great day it's been in the life of our church, starting Wave Chesapeake. Amazing. And then all of our campuses just going to new heights. Kino, did you tell me you had no room in the 11 o'clock service? For the last few weeks, we've had to let the kids out from the very get-go. And it looks like we're looking for a new venue for you. Praise the Lord. Well, it doesn't look like we have been looking for a new venue for you, but it looks like we may have something. there's some fruit coming. Our Norfolk campus, it's being remodeled as we speak. Amen. It's exciting, isn't it? Answer the call. I'll be honest with you. I was surprised to see how many people responded to this. I was. I didn't expect it, to tell you the truth. I was pleasantly surprised. And I'm thinking about the potential that's in this room. And I want to say this to you. Sometimes people think that the only legitimate form of serving God is by being yourself, independent. And they don't see the power of team. And, you know, when you've been around, you know, as a pastor of a church for 17 years and then being in two different churches before that for, 18 years. So that's 36 years I've been a Christian. I've been saying 33 years for 3 years. And I realize it's been 36 years. When you've been around, you've seen people come and go in church and out of church, in leadership and out of leadership, on staff and off staff. You've seen it. And then you don't get as moved by it as when you first see it. And people, you know, for whatever reason, an offense or for whatever reason, a legitimate God thing, or somebody rises up with their own independent spirit and think they're all this and all that. There's an Australian expression. What do we say? Where's Mark Hopkins? It's all this and a bag of chips. You know, you're all this and a bag of chips, you know. And then, Donna, who's a dear friend of mine, Donna Crouch, she's one of the key pastors of Hillsong Church back in Sydney, Australia. She kind of went through some of the similar feelings of so many of the people that are part of her world that the Lord had raised them up and sent them out and went on to do great things. And she was looking going, God, all my friends, I just feel like everybody I ever get close to, you raise them up and send them out. And she was like, what, is there something wrong? Am I missing something? And the Lord spoke to you, and this is the word for a lot of you right now at least. It takes courage to go out and do what God's called you to do, but it also takes courage to stay and be part of a great team and to understand that one will put 1,000 to flight, two shall put 10,000. And burden in and of itself does not necessitate timing. And just because the Lord gave you a burden for something doesn't mean it's now. And there's a big difference between went and sent. And when you went with the, you know, in your own desires, maybe for what would seem to be at least to you legitimate reasons, but it has all sorts of question marks to it and maybe real deeper issues that why you go trying to be your own person. I don't know about you, but, you know, people used to say to me all the time, you know, Steve, when are you going to go out and start your own church? And I had the job of being senior associate to what is now called Hillsong Church. It wasn't called that in those days. And these pastors of like 100 people would come to me, 200 people, and say, when you go out and do your own thing, like they kind of say to me, you're less than me. You're not your own person until you're doing your own thing. And I'm going, excuse me, I preached to 6,000 people last weekend. How many did you preach to? And you don't understand the power of team. And that's maybe why your church is the size it is. Because you can never get someone like me to work alongside of you because you don't see the power of team. And I want to encourage many people here to understand, you know, sometimes you get itchy feet. You got to learn how to scratch the itchy feet. Are you hearing me? And it takes courage to be on a team and yield. And I know I've all given you a book to read. Have you all read it, by the way? J. Oswald Sanders. Spiritually, I got one more book for you. Is that okay? Is that all right? I got one more book, and I'll email you this week to let you know the name of the book. I just finished reading it this afternoon, and it's called, I forget what it's called. It's Celebration of Discipline, I think it's called. Is that what it's called? Richard Foster, Celebration, probably one of the finest books I've ever read in my life. To be honest, it's one of those books that I'm going to have to probably read 10 times. Anybody read this book, by the way? Not one person. It's two, three. It's sold over 1 million copies. It's one of the finest books I've ever read. One of the most challenging. It's going to take me probably 2 years to process the book in my ministry life and to really even again allow the Lord to even give me some clarity and focus about what, you know, life is. So is that okay? Can we all agree? How many still haven't read the first book? Let me see. Be honest with me now. The Lord knows. So don't kind of like How many have not read the first book? Okay. Now, you agreed that you'll have read that book, and that was a condition of being part of this group. So you got to be a man of your word and a woman of your word, and you got to make the time, even to your own hurt, maybe turn off the TV, get off the computer, and maybe stay up later, do what you got to do to read that. And now I'm going to ask everybody to, and this, it wasn't a condition of being here, but I'm going to ask you now, would you have everybody purchase that book and have read it, if possible, by the end of this 6 weeks? So that's about 2 weeks' time. It's not, it's only 200 pages. So it's, the problem with me is, I'll be honest, you know, when I started reading this book, this is the honest truth. I started reading this book, and I'm asking you to do something I myself was unable to do. I started reading this book in January. And after the first chapter, I had to put the book down and just pray for weeks about the first chapter. Dear God, this is rocking my world. It's unbelievable. And it's, and some of you go, well, you read the first chapter and go, say what? It's just because the Lord is just was speaking to me about this idea of grace and what grace is, and it was rocking my world. So, you know, read it, and then maybe some of you might want to reread it. And I kept going back. I've actually read the first chapter, I think, 40 times and kept reading it going, I'm still not getting it. I still feel like I'm not even scratching the surface of what God's trying to download into me. And just out of the pure discipline, I thought, I got to finish this book. It's taken 4 months. It's never taken me 4 months to read a book in my life. And I'm not kidding. I mean, Joe would know. He's seen my library. Hundreds and thousands of books I have consumed, and my whole life, every night, before there was audio books, I would listen every night to cassettes. I used to listen to Reinhard Bonnke every night. Every night. And I'd say, God, I want to preach like him. I want what's on his life. So would you read that book? So I was talking about this idea about answering the call and the idea of having to have the courage to stay where you are, to understand the power of team, that one will put 1,000 to flight, two shall put 10,000. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to go out, and nothing wrong with being a pastor of a church of 100 people. Nothing wrong with that. But that's not God, where God wants any church to stop. What is wrong is when, I mean, let me put it this way. Who's ever seen somebody walk out of, remember I said last week about, is your destiny connected to your leader? Okay, and so we talked about who's ever seen somebody walk out of a God-given alignment and choose another assignment because of an offense, because they're holding me back. And sometimes pastors have done things they shouldn't have done. I got this friend who pastored a church, and he used to meet with me, and he used to say to me, he goes, you really frustrate me, Steve. And I go, why? What do I do? He goes, well, you're not educated. And I'm thinking to myself, excuse me, who told you I'm not educated? And the thing is, he kept telling me how educated he was. He kept telling me about his PhD in church growth. Every time I met with him, it wouldn't be within the first 2 minutes of a conversation he'd mention his PhD in church growth. And because I just don't talk about, I don't have a PhD, by the way, just for the record. Well, I do. It's Paul Helpless and Defenseless. It's post-hole digger. That's what it is. And he goes, you're not educated, but I've got a PhD in church growth, and I can't grow my church past 200, but you've grown yours past thousands. He goes, you really frustrate me. And I went, oh, sorry. And talking to this guy, tell me why you started this church. Well, I didn't like the pastor I was serving. And I went, faulty foundation for starters. But then he's going, look, I can't grow it. And I remember one time he kept talking about this worship leader. He goes, Steve, I keep telling her, she is the next Darlene Check. And I went, you tell her what? He goes, she's the next Darlene Check. I said, no. And I know Darlene Check. She is a very close personal friend of mine. I know her. I know her well. Her daughter and my daughter were best friends growing up. They've done, you know, we know each other very well. And I said, do you understand that as long as you keep telling her she's the next Darlene Check, when there's never supposed to be another Darlene Check, that every day that she's not Darlene Check, she's going to blame you for why she's not becoming the next Darlene Check, and she's going to come to the only logical conclusion that you are holding her back. When the truth is, there's never meant to be another darling chick. There's meant to be who she's got, God's called her to be. And I said, do you understand that is going to hurt you? And he goes, no, and I said, no, I'm just telling you. And you know, she ended up splitting his church because she said, you're holding me back because I'm supposed to be this wonderful worship leader and you're not making room for me. So sometimes we make mistakes as pastors by saying things to people we should never have said. And we set ourselves up. But I just want to give you this thought. We got to teach people how to come into leadership. We got to teach people how to come into church. And if you're new to an area and you've just come into a city, you got to figure out how to come into a church. And then not just how to come into a church, but how to come into leadership. But then not just how to come into leadership, but how to serve on a team of leaders. But then not just how to serve on a team, but even if it means like for all of you, you feel like somewhere out there, there's a call in your life to full-time pastoring and ministry, mission, whatever that is, worship leader, whatever it is you believe the Lord's called you to do. And I'm saying amen to it. And I want to light a fire under you. Are you hearing me? But I want to give you railway tracks which God can use and harness that gift. And we got to teach people how to come on team. And this is how you do it. It's what I'm about to share with you right now. And I want you all to come with me in your notes to 1 Chronicles 12. And it says in verse 8, are you all there? And I promise you this won't be a late night. We've already had enough. After Reinhard Bonnke, shut up and Selah. Some Gadites defected to join David at his stronghold in the desert. Gadites, these are people who did not belong to David. They belong somewhere else. But they defected. They left where they were because they recognized something on David's life. Already got that? And they joined David at his stronghold in the desert, and they were brave warriors, ready for battle, able to handle the shield and the spear. The faces were like that of lions, and they were as swift as gazelles on the mountaintops. And let's not go down to 2 Kings. Let's go now to turn over the page. Do you see where it says 1 Chronicles 12:14? These were the sons of Gad, captains of the army. The least, listen to this, was a match for 100, and the greatest was a match for 1,000. And actually it says it was they who crossed the Jordan when it was in flood. The least of these Gadites that joined David was a match for 100. You could get 100 men, he could beat them, he could whoop them. Their faces were like that of lions. Actually, if you read it, it says they were ambidextrous. They were able to handle the sword and the spear. It says they were swift as gazelles on mountaintops. These were the least could kill 100. The greatest was a match for 1,000. What pastor would not pray for those people to be on your team? Man. Now let me put it to you in a modern day context. They were songwriters. They were singers. They were the most talented. They were Prince style singers. Prince was a good singer. Messed up, but he was a good singer. They were Michael Jackson. They were Adele. Are you hearing me? They were builders, wealthy people of influence that could get things done. Are you hearing me? They were youth pastors. They were children's pastors. They were amazing, seasoned, mature warriors. And they left Gad to join David. Now, what pastor wouldn't go, oh, have we been praying for you? You're a worship leader. Oh. Imagine Will right now out there in Chesapeake. You can almost take anything that breathes or moves. Just trying to get this thing started. But you got to be careful because we've got to teach people how to come into leadership. When you come into a church, you got to teach people how to come into a church. I had a guy come up to me when I was back in Australia, and he goes, man, this is Hillsong Church, by the way, just for the record. So every church has these people. Oh, man, the church I came from, man, we really had worship. And I said, well, that's cool, but what are you saying? Well, and he's a drummer, and he was a very good drummer, very good drummer. And he goes, man, I really believe I can add something into this house. I'm going, And I go, okay, why again are you here? What brought you to Hillsong Church? Well, I don't feel like they were really recognizing my gift. So you left the church you're in because you felt like you were being held back. And now you're here, but you really believe that you could do something to help bring a greater level of worship. What you're really saying is you would like us to become like the church you left. But you left that church. And now you're trying to change this church into the church's worship style that you left. So what are you doing here? If you like the worship there, go back there. Because some people come into a church going, I'm going to use the church as a platform to promote my own ministry. Some people come into a church, it's like the gospel according to Mrs. Doubtfire. Who's ever seen the movie Mrs. Doubtfire? Remember, I love that movie. Greatest example of some people coming into church leadership and on staff. Do you know Robin Williams when, you know, he dresses up as a woman and the mother, the wife is interviewing potential nannies to look after the children because Robin broke up with his wife. And here is the mother looking at all these different people to consider who might be the nanny of the children because Robin Williams had left because of a marriage breakup. And all these different people came in and one lady came in and I'll never forget in the movie. She goes, okay. And you almost wonder who's interviewing who because here is the mother who's looking for a potential nanny. And this is what the nanny said, the potential nanny. I don't do dishes. I don't do cooking. I don't do cleaning. I don't walk dogs. And I don't cook meals. And she listed all the things that she doesn't do. Now, you can imagine the mother looking, going, don't call us. We'll call you. Right? And she goes, and to me, it's like people come in the church and they go, well, I just want you to know that I don't do rosters. I don't do Sunday nights. If I'm a singer, you can't put me on the children's roster because I don't do children's rosters. And, you know, all the things that you want, and it's all the wrong spirit. And it's the gospel according to Mrs. Doubtfire because people come in to church trying to use the church. I remember one lady came in and she goes, you know, I'm a pastor from another church. And I said, well, if you're a pastor from another church, what are you doing here? Where are your sheep? And she goes, well, the Lord's called me to youth ministry. I said, we have a youth pastor. And you know, I believe God calls people like these men. They left where they were because God aligns people. I get that. Are you hearing me? But if you leave seeking a bigger platform, can I say you're a Christian lap dancer? You're just looking for the greatest move forwards and you're interested in what can please you. It's like Onan. You know, the Bible talks about Onan and his brother died. Actually, God killed his brother. And then someone comes to Onan and says, now you have a responsibility according to biblical cultural history that you are to sleep with your brother's wife and give her children. Because she's got no husband, no one can take care of her. But if she has children, she can raise up kids that will take care of her. You have an obligation to sleep with your brother's wife so that she could reproduce. So he does. He sleeps with her. The Bible actually says, check this out, that he had sex with her. And this is now people talking about answering the call. We okay here? Everybody relax. But when it came to the time to put his semen in her, he pulled out. And he spilled his seed on the ground. He wanted the thrill and the satisfaction and the enjoyment of sex, but he didn't want the consequences. That's like some Christians. They pull out. They want the thrill of the opportunity, the moment, but they're not willing to inject the very life of God in them to give birth to something that might mean there's consequences. Are you hearing me? And it's like they want the platform, they want the microphone, they want the leadership title, they want the badge, thrill me, give me a good time, but don't give me any real consequences, no real responsibility. When an offering goes by and you don't sow into your church's offering, you're pulling out. When you go, yeah, I'll be on leadership, but I don't ask me to be in church every Sunday. You've got to learn to count the cost. Sundays are not mine. And, you know, they're not mine. I gave those up when I was 17 years old. I realize I'm called to preach. I'm called to pastor. So Sunday is my work day. My friends, they're going to the beach. Not me. I'm visiting people after church. I'm having lunch with people. And while my friends are going off doing what they do, and for them, church is optional, once, twice a month, maybe they're really good, three times a month, maybe if they're super Christian every Sunday. But not me. As for me and my house, Sunday's not my day. And I've never once resented Sunday being a day that it's God's house. And if you're here tonight, you go, I want to answer the call, and you're not willing to give that day to the Lord, check out now. Just because you're not ready to pay the price. And, you know, for me, Sundays, I preach two morning services, then I do our TV show filming, and then I preach in our night service. Now I'm doing Answer the Call, and I do the TV show. But I'm not struggling with that. I count at that cost. Sunday's not mine. And my friends can go do what they want to do on the beach and have it. And I go to the beach, by the way, on Sundays. I'll even play golf between services. Well, not a lot, but I have occasionally. I'm usually too tired, to tell you the truth. But I'm not sitting there resenting and just wishing I could have my friend's life, because I asked for this. I said, God, sign me up. And so look what the Bible says here, because it says, now if you were David, and the least could kill 100, the greatest could kill 1,000, and they're now coming to you, and they're brilliant at what they do. They're the sound desk engineer extraordinaire. They can make the sound system sound better than it really is. They're the lighting genius. They're the voice. When they sing, the presence of God falls. Are you hearing me? That's what it's saying. What would you do? Have we been praying for you? And sometimes we set people up for their own fall, because somehow we're letting them think that they're coming here, they're actually making the house anointed. Why did these people join David? Because he was anointed. And they brought the strength of their leadership to submit to him, because your destiny is connected to your leader. So look at verse 17. Look on your notes, and I'm done. It says, so David went out to meet them, and he answered and said, if you've come peaceably to me to watch this, what? To what? To. So I got a question for them. Here's my only question for tonight. Have you come to help? If you've come to help me, then look what he says. What does it say? I will receive you. Is that what it says? But if you've come to betray me to my enemies, seeing how there's no blood on my hands, may the God of heaven judge now. And David says, if you haven't, listen to this, if you haven't come to help, you will betray me. And I've had so many people over my 36 years of being a Christian make promises of the things they're going to do to serve the Lord. But the truth is, their only reason for wanting to do it is about their own desires. And they'll say, I'm here, and as long as I get the opportunity, as long as I get the recognition, as long as I get the platform, as long as I get the microphone, as long as you acknowledge me, as long as you talk about me, as long as you give me attention, as long as, and David says, yeah, it's not about that. Have you come to help me? And if you come to help me, I'll receive you. So my question is, in your church, this is Wave Church, I see a few pastors from other churches, and I'm speaking to you as well, about the kind of things we should be doing to teach people. You got to teach people when you come into the kingdom, they're there to help. Well, Pastor, I think we should do this. That's all good, but we're not doing that right now. This is what we're doing, and will you help me? People used to say to me, when are we going to have this ministry? Yeah, we don't have the right person for that right now. Well, I don't know that you're the right person either, but, and I'm not saying that right now, but I'm just saying it now. You know what I mean? And we'll get to that. But I, you know, oh, Pastor, I got to be, the Lord told me, He's given me this ministry. And man, I want to bring my life and my anointing and birth this ministry. Yeah, I don't have a vision for that. Have you come to help? Because this is kind of what I need. And this is what I feel as the shepherd of the church. This is what we feel to do. I'll show you one more scripture and I'm done. John chapter 10. Let's go there. It's not in your notes. John chapter 10. Who's got a Bible? I don't. John chapter 10. Is it in there? Oh, it is in there. Oh, let's get. I want to read before that. Okay, let's go John chapter 10, because that's a really good scripture, by the way. I forgot that was in the notes. That's the hireling. We'll do that. But watch this now. In John chapter 10, who's got a Bible? Someone got a Bible? Okay, give it to me real quick, and let me show you. Here we go. John chapter 10, and listen to Jesus speaking. He goes, watch this now. Verily I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep gate, the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. Here's Jesus speaking about a shepherd and about looking after the sheep. And he goes, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen, so every church is your sheep pen. You got it? But does not enter by the gate. What's the gate? It's where the shepherd built the gate. That gives the shepherd access to move the sheep in and out. And anyone who tries to come in other than through the gate, listen to this, but climbs in some other way is a thief and a robber. And he who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. And the gatekeeper, so the shepherd, are you hearing, has gatekeepers. And the gatekeeper, watch this, open the gates for the shepherd, and the sheep listen to his voice, and he calls his own, then the sheep calls them by name, and he leads them out. And when he's brought out, his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away because they don't recognize a stranger's voice. Do you know what Jesus is saying here? If you come into a church and you don't go through the senior leader, and you start going, man, I got a ministry in the Lord. And you start meeting people in church and you start getting people in the church to help build your ministry. You're a thief and a robber. Not you, but the person who does that. You understand? Because you recognize the gatekeeper. You recognize the shepherd. And if you're climbing over the fence some other way, then actually you're not recognizing the God-given leadership. Well, I'm going to run a Connect group. Fantastic. Well, at Wave Church, this is what we do. We believe in actually having Connect group leaders. And I have said this many times. I'm believing out of this room, there should be at least 50 new Connect groups. Should be. Okay. But don't ask me to be accountable to Joe. Don't ask me to be accountable to Rachel. I'm going to do whatever curriculum I want. All right. Now you're climbing over the fence. And then now look what Jesus says, because he goes, and it says in, I am the good shepherd. Oh, it's not all there. Let's read this. That's all the verses are missing. It says in verse 11, I am the good shepherd, and the shepherd, is this it? Lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he see the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. The wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand. He cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. And Jesus is trying to say here that sometimes there are people who come in to church and they're hirelings. They're not a wolf, hear me. They're just in it for the title. They're in it for the position. They're in it for the recognition. They're in it for the opportunity. But the moment a tough time comes, a wolf comes, dang, I could get hurt. Sheep are on their own. That wolf's got big fangs. Then you're a hireling because you're not looking after the sheep. You don't own the sheep, but if you own the sheep, you'll risk your life on them. You'll do whatever you have to do. I can't tell. I'm just going to tell you now. If you believe God's called you to ministry, there's times when you got to stand there and take character assassination. And you just got to keep your mouth shut. And you got to take the high road. Because I don't want the sheep to get hurt. The only thing that gets hurt when elephants fight is the grass under its feet. And I'm going to stay here. And I'm going to let the critics have their say and have their shot. But at the end of the day, intelligent people can see. And it ain't fun. But I'm not just there for the pat on the back. I love you, Pastor. I'm with you all the way. And the moment someone says, I'd never do anything to hurt you. Cool. I was never thinking you would until now. Because I don't know who you're trying to convince, me or you, or what's going on in your mind. Because that thought never crossed my mind until you kept telling me you're never doing anything. I'm here for life. And then until someone says, but I've been offered a ministry opportunity somewhere else, so see you wouldn't want to be you. You hearing me? The shepherd lays down his life. You can't run from a call. Amen? And so here's what it looks like. A hireling says, what can you do for me? A shepherd says, what can I do? A hireling says, what I want to do. A shepherd says, what needs to be done. A hireling says, what I won't do. A shepherd says, what I will do. A hireling says, what position will you give me? A shepherd says, where else can I serve? A hireling says, how many people will you give me? And a shepherd says, how many people do I serve? A hireling says, will the pastor release me into my ministry? A shepherd says, how can I serve the pastor? I'm here to help. What do you need? Amen. A hireling says, how can this house anoint me? A shepherd says, how can my life help the anointing of the house? A hireling says, serve till something better comes along. A shepherd says, I'm here for life. Have you come to help? Amen. I remember one time, I'm closing, I'm done. When I first came here, there was a guy on staff, and I wasn't yet the senior pastor. I was coming to be the senior pastor. And he was the quote-unquote 2IC, second in charge. Under the previous pastor, he let it be very clear to me, just in case you don't know who's who in the zoo, I'm second in charge. When you come, I will be your right-hand man. Now, technically speaking, that was true. So I'm thinking, I'm going to find out if this guy's going to steal anything. And so I'm not there yet. In May, I decided I'd come, but I wasn't going to come till the following January. And so I said to this guy, well, you know, seeing how you're second in charge, tell you what I'd like you to do. I'm going to be traveling a lot. And I traveled all the time. I was literally more in airplanes than any that season of my life, more than any time in my life. And I said, here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you every week just to send me the church attendance numbers. And I'd like you to have all of the pastors on staff to systematically call everybody in the church three times. And three times being between May and December, everybody that's on our database gets a phone call. And the question is, hey, how you doing with all the change? We've announced that the pastor, Wally, had felt like the Lord had called him to transition out of leadership. And he asked, would I come? And I've said yes, but just make sure we're going to take care of the sheep. And I'd like to make sure that every person gets a phone call at least three times between May. And I'd like you to give me an update every week on how that's progressing. And give me some feedback because I'm not there. But what he did know is I was testing him to see, is he worth a pinch of salt? And so I said, you understand, I'm still the senior associate pastor of Hillsong Church. I'm not yet the senior pastor of this church. But at least you can help be my eyes and ears. And help me feel like I got my finger on the pulse of what the Lord's doing till I come. Fair enough? I mean, think that's wise? He goes, I got it. And I said, this is back in the days when there was no email. It was fax machines. And so I said, every Monday, just fax me. And I was all over the world. And I would call my house and say to Sharon, do we get a fax from this pastor? And I would say 70% of the time, no fax. And I go, hey, man, everything okay? Just wondering, didn't get a fax. You know, everything good? Oh, yeah, just busy. Okay. And then we used to sell Christmas trees. Thank God we don't anymore. We used to sell Christmas trees. And And that was helped to pay for the land payment on Seaboard Road. And those days are long gone. And he would refuse to go out and have his turn selling the Christmas trees because the Lord had called him to preach and teach the word of God, and selling Christmas trees was below him. But if that Christmas trees didn't sell, there was no land payment. And so he went, well, no, the Lord, it's below me. And I went, this dude, and I'd be talking to, you know, go, hey, man, what's going on? Well, I'm not selling any Christmas trees. And then he sends me this note and says, Steve, I think you are really neglecting me. You know better than the pastor I'm working for now. And I just think that, you know, you got to do a better job of taking care of me. And I'm thinking, I'm not even your pastor yet. So this is my response. This is honestly what I wrote. You're a big baby. Grow up. That was it. Nothing else. Not hi, mate. Not yours in Jesus. Huh? What? Just, you're a big baby. And you know what that guy did? He went around to as many people in this church as he could, showing them the response, which I figured he would. But I knew anybody who's got half a brain is going to say, what could you have possibly said that would cause that kind of response? And Joe Monaco had enough brains to say, all right, but what did you say to Steve that he would have such a strong response? And he, oh, it doesn't matter. You got to show me. You got to tell me what you said to him. And when Joe read what he said to me, he goes, I'd have fired you on the spot if you spoke to me in my business like that. And I said, Lord, this man is not here to help. And he ain't helping. And listen to this. There's some people you can't help. And here's a clue. You can't help anyone who believes you're their problem. That's a good start right there. If I'm his problem, I can't help the brother. So he saw the writing on the wall and resigned before I ever got here. Best decision he ever made, because the first decision I'd have made as the new senior pastor was, I think the Lord's calling you somewhere else because I'm not your problem here. Are you hearing me? He says, well, the Lord's called me to the word. No, the Lord's called me to the word. I'm the preacher in this house. We have a senior pastor. It's me. And if you think you can sit at your desk and just read your Bible all day, my friend, that is not ministry. It's getting your hands dirty. It's calling people. It's visiting people. It's loving people. It's shepherding people. It's actually being the gatekeeper and protecting the sheep and leading the sheep and laying down your life for the sheep and getting phone calls at 11 o'clock in the night and 2 o'clock in the morning, finding out somebody just died in their family and you've got to be there when you don't feel like being there, and when you've got your own marital issues and you've got to somehow solve someone else's marriage issues, and you've got to learn to put game face on and still lead the people and put on, and you still got to, I mean, you got to deal not just with the academic pressures of everyday life and work, but now the spiritual pressures and opposition, and you've got to understand, you've got to get yourself under anointed leadership, and you better be there to help, because if you're not, and next Sunday night, I'm going to teach you something I taught our staff, brokenness in ministry, the message of the potter and the clay, and you're going to love that teaching. I'm trying to give you some of the teaching over my 36 years of ministry that have defined my call and are defining the DNA of Wave Church. Because I'm excited for you all. I hope I'm scaring some of you. Dang, do I really want this? Good. If I can talk you out of it, I've done you a favor. Because if I can talk you out of it, you were never called. I've done you a favor. Because you try and do something you're not called to do, it ain't fun. Are you hearing me? But if I've done everything I can, you go, you know what? Bring it on. All right, doesn't sound too attractive, but I'm up for it. And then you're not going to be that hireling. You're not going to be that person that just uses the church to give it to you. You're there to help. Amen? It's just too strong. I got scars on my hands. See these scars? Now, I'm told. Tell me, anybody here in the medical world? Who's in the medical world? Anybody? I'm told, if I got this right, that scar is dead tissue, that it actually has no feeling. Is that correct? Okay, so the Bible says you're to crucify your flesh. So if your flesh is hurting, it ain't dead. Because scar is dead flesh. I'm hurting. Die well. You just learn how to die. That's what ministry is about. You're just learning, oh, God's got some flesh he's trying to kill. Wonderful. That person hurt my feelings. Oh, you're dog, oh, get on that cross. Amen. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for Reverend Bonky. Thank you, Lord, for this group of people here tonight. Lord, I pray that as we answer this call, that, Lord, in the name of Jesus, the deep things of God call to the deep things of man. And I thank you, Lord, that you are fanning into flame. And, Lord, I thank you that you are putting burden within people. Help us, Father, to understand the clarity of the burden, the timing of the burden, the context of where we can get started in the name of Jesus. Amen. We love you. God bless you.